Yeah, I can't fix your car. Don't ask me. Okay. Yeah. Good to see all of you. Good to be with you today. Good to have all of you here today. I'm so excited to talk to you this morning about being fishers of men. And I want you to know that I'm going to tell you a story here in just a minute. But I want to start off immediately with our scripture in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And I'm looking at the King James Version here because I like it very much. And it says this, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now who's he talking to? Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Okay, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are the four that he's talking to. And he tells them this right after they catch this multitude of fish. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But also I want you to see this in Luke chapter 5, verse 10 in the New American Standard. It says this, "And likewise also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not fear, from now on you will be catching people." From now on you will be catching people. Now I like to use different versions. I also like to use different accounts out of the four gospel accounts because they're worded sometimes a little differently, but they all mean the same thing. There's no contradictions in the Bible. There's never been a contradiction in the Bible, and you cannot find a contradiction in the Bible. It does not exist. Okay? But what we see is different wording, different view. You will be catching people. Catching people. Now, one of the things I want to tell y'all about is a little story I've got. I back in 2000, 2001, and 2002, I used to really fish a lot. I was in the BASS. I was also in the National FLW Bass Circuit. And I fished a lot of bass tournaments, a whole lot of bass tournaments. And while I was fishing in those bass tournaments, I had a shirt that I like to wear when I fished. And it's got a lot of patches on it, you know, the 6-pound club, you know, and different things, BASS, FLW, all these different patches on it. Well, one of the things that I had on there was a engraved bird. That's the bird. Y'all know what kind of bird that is? Very good. A strange bird. That's a kingfisher. We've got those around here. That's a kingfisher is what it is. And I had that bird, and it's on my shirt, right over my pocket. And I thought about bringing it to you and letting you see it, but it's so small you couldn't see it back there, so I didn't bring it. But I had that bird on there. And so every time I'd go to one of these pre-tournament meetings, I'd wear that shirt. And they'd look at that shirt and they'd say, what kind of bird is that? And I said, that's a kingfisher. And they'd say, does that mean that you're the king fisherman? I said, no. That means I'm a fisher for the king. Okay? And I like that because what happened was when they would see that little bird on my shirt, it opened the door for me to teach them about what being a fisher for the king is. And it was really good because I never went to a tournament. And like I said, I went to a lot of them. And at one time I was fishing tournaments two and three times a month. So I went to a lot of different tournaments. I fished a lot of different lakes and with a lot of different people. But under no circumstance did I not have at least one person ask me about that bird on my shirt. And I got to talk about it. And what was really neat was when I was fishing with these tournament fishermen, and they were pros. I was not. I was an amateur. But these guys were fishing for their livelihood. And we would get in there and we'd start like at 6 o'clock in the morning and we'd end at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we'd fish all day long. We'd never stop. We'd never take a break. We were always there fishing. But we were also talking. And it truly gave me an opportunity because they would ask about that shirt and about that bird, and it would truly give me an opportunity to talk to them about what it was all about. Now, what that was just something that I used to open the door to spread the gospel. That's all that was. And it was real simple. Because they wanted to make it sound like that I was the king fisherman, which indeed I was not. There were many that were better than I was. But being a fisher for the king is a whole different ballgame. Now, I want you to realize that being a fisher for the king is something that we are commanded to do. Two times. The last thing that Jesus told his disciples was to go into the world and preach the gospel. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. He said it also in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. To make disciples of Christ, Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's Matthew 28. Mark 16 tells us to go into all creation and preach the gospel to every creature. That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now that's a pretty simple statement. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Believe and be baptized. And I've told you this before, that the word "and" is in there. So it doesn't say believe and then if you want to be baptized, does it? But they're connected. They're connected. Acts 2:38 tells us to repent and be baptized. They too are connected. These are the last commands that Jesus gave to his apostles, his disciples, before he ascended into heaven. They are a command to us today as Jesus' disciples. Because all of us here today are disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you don't think you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you need to come see me. You need to talk to me. Because we are truly disciples of Christ. We try to follow His Word. We try to do what His Word teaches us. And we try to be Christ-like. That is our goal. Is to do what Jesus would have us to do. To do what God Himself would have us to do. To go out and to make disciples of all people, of every nation. And do not forget the promise that was given to Abraham, that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. You ever done a DNA check on you? Ancestry.com? Pretty amazing where you're from. I pretty well knew where I was from. I knew I was Irish. And I knew I was American Indian. That's what I knew. And that's basically what they told me. I'm Irish and American Indian. And if you've ever seen my son, he's adopted, so he doesn't have my genetics, my DNA. But he's a big man. He's 6'3", weighs about 260, 270, somewhere in that range. He has a big, long beard and long hair. And his beard is red. And his hair has a red tint to it. And he went on his honeymoon and bought a kilt with the whole outfit. And when he got off the plane with he and his wife, both in kilts and the whole outfit, they get off the airplane there in Little Rock and we're picking him up and he's wearing his kilt and his outfit. And I go, oh my goodness. That boy is a Viking. And sure enough, he did the DNA test and guess where he's from? He's definitely a Viking. But I tell you that simply because this. We are all of one body.
Amen.
We are all of one spirit. We are all of one nation, one kingdom. We are combined together under one God, under one King. And we are His disciples, fishers of men, going out into the world to bring others into the kingdom. Now, I have this question up here that I'm going to answer today. And it's not nearly as difficult as you may think it may be. Because I've heard people say this many, many times, is, oh, I don't feel comfortable going out and talking about God with other people. You know, I don't feel like I know enough. I don't feel like I understand enough. Well, guess what? Did they understand all things when they went out and started teaching the gospel? Did they understand all things when they went out and started to invite people? The woman at the well is a prime example. Did she understand all things? No, she did not. She understood very little. But she thought that she may have met the Messiah. And all she did was invite. She said, come and see. Now, I want to look at that because that's a very important thing that we should all do first and foremost. It's really simple. It's really simple. And I'm going to even make it simpler for you. But it's a real simple thing to do. The first thing that we should do if we are going to go out and become fishers for the King is number one, we should invite. And as we look at how they invited, realize that they started with their own family members. They started with their own family. Now I want you to know that most of you already know this, that I was in politics at one time, and I was a preacher at the same time. And I was told back a long time ago that during Thanksgiving, you should never talk about politics or religion. So at Thanksgiving time, I sat in the corner by myself with my mouth shut. Because that's all I had. That's all I had. But I want you to realize that the first thing they did when they located Jesus or when they determined that Jesus Christ was there was that they went out and they found their own relatives. They found their own relatives. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. How many of you in this audience, don't raise your hand, I've got my hand up. How many of you in this audience have relatives that you know that need to hear the gospel of Christ? Think about that for just 1 minute. How many do you know? Have you invited them to come to our worship service? Folks, if you haven't, you're missing out. Because that's the first thing that they did was they went out and invited family members. Who did they go to? They found their own brother, Peter. They went to their own brother. They went to their own family members. And I want you to know that there are people in this audience today that have been baptized because their family invited them to come to our worship service. Secondly, look what they did. They invited friends. Brought up Nathaniel just a minute ago. Nathaniel was a friend of Philip's. What did he do? He went and invited him. He said to him, "We have found him whom Moses wrote in the law." In other words, we have found the Messiah. Come and see. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, for sure. He found his friends. Folks, how many of you have friends that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Realize, we do. Have you invited them? Have you invited them to come? Have you invited them to hear the gospel? And thirdly, look what they did. They invited neighbors, co-workers, and classmates. And I'm going back to the woman at the well. Who did she invite? She invited the community. She said, "I think I've found the Messiah." And notice her message. Come and see. Folks, that could be our message. A very simple message. And your message could be such that, hey, I have found the Messiah. Come and see. I have found salvation. Come and see. I have found joy and peace. I'm going to put those two together. Beyond understanding. Come and see. How simple of an invitation is that? Did the woman at the well know anything more than that? No. Do you have to know anything more than that? No. Because all you have to do is invite. Start with family, go with friends, and then go with community around you. People that you know, people that you work with. How many of you work with people, don't raise your hand again, how many of you work with people that really do need to hear the gospel? How about how many of you have a boss that really needs to hear the gospel? I'm sure when I was a boss, I had some employees that thought, that guy needs to hear something different. Folks, that's the way it is. Realize that there are people right next to you that need to hear the gospel of Christ. Also realize this. This is a command. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not telling you to go preach. I'm not even telling you at this point to go teach. What I am telling you to do is go invite. Invite. And if you're thinking right now the way that I'm thinking, then you know of somebody that needs to be invited. There's somebody that you know. There's a friend. There's a family member. There's an acquaintance that need to hear the gospel. When you leave here today, invite them to come. Secondly, I want you to look at this. This is probably The most important thing that you can do to bring people to Christ. And that's live as a Christian. Don't forget in your daily walk, let your light shine. Live as a Christian. Nate, I'm going to use you as an example. As he brought up in his class this morning, you know, if you just help somebody out of Walmart with their groceries, help them put them in their car. If you just help somebody that needs a little help in whatever it may be, ask them, would you like some help? Folks, they're going to take notice. People see what you do. They truly do. That's why Jesus was so adamant about this in the Sermon on the Mount, about telling us to let our light shine, because other people see it and glorify your Father in heaven because of it. Let your light shine. The old song that we used to sing, hide it under a bushel. What is it? No, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. And folks, I've told you this before, but you do not have to say anything for people to take notice. And I told you about when I was scooping ice cream for my mom. Actually, it was for the family more than it was just for my mom, but I was scooping ice cream. And there was an individual that sat there at the counter and watched me for a long time. And when I went up to wait on this individual, he looked at me and said, "You're a born-again Christian, aren't you?" I'd said nothing. I'd talked to nobody about Jesus. He recognized it. And of course, he didn't quite understand what he was talking about, but I knew what he was talking about. Being born again. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. And unless you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Realize that our light must shine. And if our light shines, you're going to bring people to Christ. They're going to ask about you. They're going to try to understand you. They're going to try to figure out, all right, where do they go to church? They worship at Poto Church of Christ. I said it right, Bob. Yeah. I said it right. Because they're going to ask first, where do they go to church? They're not going to ask first, where do they worship? They're going to ask first, where do they go to church? They worship at Poto Church of Christ. Look at this also about living as a Christian. We must live as a Christian at work and at school. Those of you who are teenagers back there in the back over here on this side that go to school, realize that your principal is watching you. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do in your life, whether it be at work or at school, do it as if you were doing it for God. If God came to you this morning and said to you that I need you to do this, would you not do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? Of course. Do it as you would do it for God. Don't grumble about your bosses. Don't grumble about your teachers. Do it as if you were doing it for God. Because that is also part of letting your light shine. People take notice of that. And not only that, your teachers and your bosses take notice of that. And they give you more responsibilities, and they give you more raises, and they promote you, and they do all these things because you're doing it as you would do it for God. I have this verse up there for a primary reason. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is the one that we quote so often, that we know so well. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is the beginning of the new law. It is the end of the old law. It is the beginning of the new. When they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles in verse 37, when they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very specific. Here's what you should do. That is the beginning of the New Testament church. And on that day, how many were baptized? 3,000 men. Doesn't count the women and the children, does it? So 3,000 men were baptized. And as we continue to read the rest of that chapter, we also read this, that they were having favor with all of their community. All of the people were taking notice of these people and how they were acting. And they were being brought to God because of it. And look at number three. Number three is this. Teach. Teach the Word of God. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, you have nothing. Faith comes by hearing. How do they hear? They hear by teaching. Folks, if you get them here to this congregation, to our worship service, they're going to get some teaching. That's my job. And I'm going to do my best to teach. But also, they're going to get it from their classes. They're going to get it from other members of the congregation. They're going to get it from every direction they can get it from. They will hear the gospel. Remember the eunuch. When Philip joined himself with the eunuch, Philip asked him, said, do you understand what you read? And the eunuch responded and said, how can I unless some man guide me? Unless someone guide me, how can I understand? Well, folks, that's what we're here for. We're here to help you to walk with God, to teach the Word. Bring them in. They will hear the Word. But also, understand, we've got some opportunities for you. We've got little handouts out front right out here. Plan of Salvation. Get 4 or 5 of those. Give them to some people. Those are excellent. It gives you the exact plan. It gives you every verse that goes along with it so that you would be able to hand that to them, not have to say anything. Here is the plan of salvation. Teach the Word, because that's where faith comes from. Now, realize that both in Mark and both in Matthew, we see the word go. In Mark, the word go is translated from the Greek. But I want you to understand that word go is different than the word go in Matthew. The word go in Mark actually means as you are sent out. As you are sent. This is more for people who are evangelists, who go out into the world, who are sent by their congregation to go and teach the gospel in a certain area. They are sent. But the one in Matthew is different. Because the one in Matthew is translated from a word that means as you go on your way. Which means as you go into Walmart. Which means as you go to your schools. As you go to your job. As you go to a sporting event. As you go to the lake. As you go on your way. Teach the gospel. Folks, what I've done for you today is given you three things that are very easy to do. Number one is invite. Number two is act like a Christian wherever you go. And number three is to teach people the gospel. If you do those three things, then you become fishers of men. When you leave this place today, think about who out there that you know who need to be invited. Who out there that you know that need to be shown how to act as a Christian? Who out there that you know that needs to hear the gospel and go out and catch that person? If this morning you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, I want you to have that opportunity to do that. If you need our prayers, I want you to come forward and tell us what you need so that we may help you. But as for the rest of us, we are commanded to be fishers of men. We are commanders. We are commanded, excuse me, to be the fisher for the King. Go into the world and fish for the King. If we can help you in any way, come while together we stand and sing.